done before about every sports event going on.
Okay, that would be the one that makes us stand, the Star Spangled Banner.
Yes, it is.
And what do you use it to remember?
What do I do?
Do you mean you have the lyrics memorized, or is it a device to help you remember something?
That's how I get you the lyrics, is by singing it.
Ah, got it. Well, that makes sense. It would be hard. I don't know if I could write down the lyrics without singing it in the back of my head. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking maybe you've got something that you can remember by using that as the song to do it, using the tune to remember something else.
Yeah. I don't do that, but,
Well,
are you ready?
Look, I'm set. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say us that star-spangled banner yet wave for the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Well done. And now I'm thinking more about that, Jack. Many people end up going, oh, say, excuse my voice here, oh, say, can you see? And they don't have all the words. And then at the end you hear, oh, the land of the free. So kudos to you for having all the lyrics and a fine voice to boot. You sounded great.
Yeah, I've been cultivating the voice for a long time. All I have to do is not smoke, and probably stay with me for quite a while.
Well,
I started in about 10th grade, 10 years old. I was in a boys' choir in my parochial school.
Well, you sound...
And I kind of thought I had a good voice then, and carried on from there.
Well, you sure do. Thanks, Dust Bowl. Dust Bowl is in Warren. Let me see if I can get a little bit of this on. This is supposed to be Folsom Prison done to Pinball Wizard.
I hear the train a coming, rolling round the bend. I ain't seen the sun shining, I don't know where. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on, but the train keeps it moving. On down to San Antone.
Thank Jim and Crafton Heights for this.
Son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. I met with Brian Eno and we had some pie. When I hear the lonesome whistle, I hang my head and cry.
This works too well to fade out.
Folks eating in a fancy dining car, probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars.
But I do have to say, you're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Life Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSHAFM Grove City, WCUCFM Clarion, WNJR Washington, and slbradio.org.
Probably eating pheasant breast and eastern caviar. I ain't crying envy. I ain't crying.
He has known the artist as Puddle's Pity Party. Thanks for playing along, and Jim, thank you for that. Alain mentioned the good old mnemonic of I before E except after C. Thanks, Alain.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. There ain't no sunshine when she's gone. She's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away. Wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. There ain't no sunshine when she's gone, but this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. And I know, 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 I know. Hey, I leave your thing alone. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. There ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. There ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Well, she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away. Sunshine where she's gone. There ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And it's not warm when she's away. There ain't no sunshine when she's gone. But this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. And I wonder this time where she's gone. I wonder if she's gonna stay. There ain't no sunshine where she's gone. She's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
I don't know if it's the snow. Something's giving me a lot of sillies today. I want to ask if you were singing or counting along to the I Know, I Know, I Know to see how many there were. That was Matt Anderson, a Canadian artist here at the Saturday Light Brigade, with his version of that song. Speaking of silly, Mick in St. Clair, last hour we were talking about mnemonic devices and I before E except after C. It took me a minute to get this. He says that has been debunked by science, which features an I before E that comes after C in its spelling. So Mick is exactly right.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
Quick program notes. Next week, Ricky and I will be off. You'll hear the best of the Saturday Light Brigade, or some of the best. I'd like to think the best hasn't come yet, but we have a program from 2011 that will air in our place across all of our stations. We'll be back again on March 2nd. I said all of our stations, but WRCT will be running its annual Massive Music Weekend, featuring half-hour blocks of artists across just about any genre you can imagine from its huge record library. I'd like to introduce you now to two people who are doing amazing things. And not too long ago, they were in Memphis at the International Association of Blacks and Dance Conference and Festival. We'll talk a bit about their experiences there, but first I'd like you to get to know them so you understand who you're hearing from. So I'll ask each of you if you could introduce yourself, indicate where you go to school, and if you have any shout-outs, this is the perfect time to do that. And I'm going to start with Camille, since I know Camille from her activities here at the Youth Media Center.
Okay, so hi, my name is Camille Howard. I'm a sophomore at Montour High School, and I'm a level 3 dancer at the Hill Dance Academy Theater.
Hello, my name is Nairi Hunter. I attend Pittsburgh Kappa Performing Arts, and I'm a level 4 dancer at Hill Dance Academy Theater.
Nice to have you both here. I would love to... What do these levels mean? Can you explain what that's all about?
I think the levels are just like, in my opinion, like the progression, like your progression of dance. So like level one, well, let's start with like there's the creative movement kind of level. There's the 3 and 4 year olds and 5 and 6 year olds. And those are just kind of like the babies, and like they're just like getting used to like, oh, here's first position, here's how your hands go. And then you have level one, which is like technically everybody who's like 7 and older, but are still like at the beginning level of like their dance training. So they take like very like basic classes like ballet and have like jazz. And then level 2 is starting to get more into like the technical aspects of dance. So they take Horton, ballet, sometimes capoeira, but some more, still a little bit of like the lower level classes. And then in level 3, you'll start taking like different types of modern. We take Luigi style jazz. Some of us are on point. And then in level 4, it's like the highest level, so that they're taking two jazz classes a week, contemporary, ballet, and then both level 3 and level 4 share an African class.
Wow. So, and you guys are both level 4. Is there a higher level?
No, I'm actually level 3, but I think level 4 is the highest level that they've ever had.
That's great. So anybody, what I like about this, at least what I'm thinking, is you can come in to Hill Dance Academy Theater and maybe you have no experience whatsoever. You can find what level makes the most sense for you and sort of progress at your own pace. Is that sound about right?
Yes. I think the atmosphere is very welcoming to everyone, and it's also just not only the levels are based off of your dance ability, but also how fast you could pick up things and the mindset of learning and like your growth mindset, basically.
Nairi, how did you start dancing? I mean, were you dancing as a little girl, or tell me a bit about your career?
Well, actually, I started dancing later than others, but I think it was just an after-school program and a hobby I just started to pick up on and liked. I was always very energized as a kid, so I think it was just a way to express myself while moving and still having fun.
When you say later than others, how old were you?
I started dancing when I was 7 years old.
And what about for you, Camille?
I started dancing at 2.
Wow. I'm not surprised because Camille, I know, is a great drummer, and it doesn't surprise me that you're a good dancer. I think those can go hand in hand. What do you think would surprise people about what you do at Hill Dance Academy Theater? You mentioned how welcoming it is. It doesn't surprise me because I know Aisha and I know what HDAT is like, but I think sometimes dancers might be kind of clicky, but it doesn't sound like you've got that going on there.
Oh, no, not at all. I feel like the most surprising thing that people will not expect from us as young children, but also in, like, trying to do something in a professional world, is our discipline that we learn at HDAT. Even though ages from 6 all the way till 18, we all have this creative discipline class that teaches us a lot about, you know, being respectful in the dance world, not only in the dance world, but also to other people, because you don't never know who you'll stand in front of or meet.
That's a really good thing to bring up. I was mentioning, I forget the context, but I was mentioning to somebody how much I believe in treating everybody the same, with the same courtesy and respect, you know, not treating somebody differently because you think they can give you a favor or do something for you. You just treat everybody with dignity and respect, and it kind of echoes what I think you're saying now. Can you carry skills you learn in dance to other aspects of your life, do you think, Camille?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think with how HDAT works is for the spring concert, we have to audition for the pieces, and if you get chosen, you get to work with the choreographer. And I think that it just shows you how to apply yourself in, like, situations where you're in front of somebody that you may not know and you're trying to present your best self. And I think that definitely helps, like, in the outside world, because you're not always going to know the people that you're going to meet, but you do have to learn how to, like, present your best self and put your best foot forward. And I think that's, like, something that you learn a lot at HDAT, and it definitely carries through.
What are aspects of your best self?
I think aspects of my best self is how I'm able to handle difficult situations in a short period of time. That's what I feel like I learned a lot at HDAT, being one of the older students, with the younger ones, helping them with steps that they may not understand or things they just won't comprehend quickly and fast enough. I feel like that's just a very good, you know, virtue to have in life, to be able to help others and help them understand things they need to understand.
Yeah, and I think another thing that I've learned at HDAT is, like, learn how to ask for help, because at the same time where you might be struggling on one part, somebody else is struggling on something that you have. And it's really easy to exchange information, but if you're too scared to ask for help, you're preventing yourself from learning, but you're also preventing somebody else that may need help from learning too.
I would imagine that talking it through can often help if you just sort of explain what it is and get outside of your own head. And something I find a lot when I'm stuck is I just have to stop and then come back to it. Does that happen in dance?
Yes, actually, quite frankly, a lot. And also, most times, I'm personally a visual learner, so I like to see things being done instead of, you know, it being said to me, because I just like to see it in person, and that's how I feel like I'm going to be able to adapt to get the movement or correction and apply it quickly.
Yeah, and I think I'm quite the opposite. I'm more of, like, a auditory, like, learner. Like, if someone said it to me, like, especially, like, with counts, like, it may be, like, 5, 6, 7, 8, but there's, like, different, like, fluctuations of the voice that will definitely help, like, to learn, like, what, like, the different dynamics of the movement is. But as for like Nairi, it's like different. But then if I'm like forgetting how the movement looks, like I can always ask Nairi because she knows how it looks, where I know maybe how it's supposed to move, if that makes sense.
It does. That means you two are a good pair in terms of learning things. You're probably able to support one another incredibly well. I was going to ask you if little kids get frustrated. I would imagine everybody gets frustrated from time to time. How do you power through that?
Well, I just think they're young, so they kind of don't understand, like, oh, I have to sit still for a second. But I feel like if you use components that they already learned and mastered into getting them to learn different things, then they'll be able to understand the thing that they're supposed to learn.
Yeah, I think it also definitely helps because of how welcoming, like, the Hadak community is and the way that, like, our auditions work. You're definitely working with the younger kids, and I think it helps, like, when they get frustrated, like, I feel as though, like, I know all the names of all the kids, so I think it's very much easier to help them because, like, you can address them by name, and you can, like, sit down and have that face-to-face conversation, like, oh, what's happening? And like, really get to the root of the problem instead of just, like, talking to them as an older student to a younger student, but more as, like, as a friend to a friend.
That makes so much sense. You're hearing, that was Camille Howard, who just spoke, and before her was Nairi Hunter. They are both students at Hill Dance Academy Theater. And you can learn more, by the way, if you're wondering about their work, at 5678HDAT, which is 5678HDAT.org. Now, you all just came back from the International Association of Blacks and Dance Conference and Festival in Memphis last month. And I'm very curious about what happened there. And please tell me a bit about why you went there and some of the things you saw in Memphis and learned.
Well, yes, we indeed just came back. It's an international conference for young black dancers and artists to get to know each other and learn more. And not only learn and take classes, but also to network and find more friends and people that, you know, can help you and is interested into helping you achieve your professional career or goal in life.
Yeah, it was 5 days. We flew in on Wednesday and we flew out on Sunday. And the first day was more of like just like a settle down, settle in. There was a performance by the hosting group, which was the Collage Dance in Memphis, and they had a whole performance at the Orpheum. And then after that, there was a youth night like party that lasted till that was Thursday. But there was a youth night party that lasted till 12, yeah. And that just allowed us to, like, get to know a lot of the youth because we're in classes with youth. We're auditioning in groups of youth. Like, as much as there were also, like, adults that were there, it was mostly focused, at least in my opinion, towards, like, the youth bonding kind of thing. So we met, like, a bunch of people there, and then you went to class the next day, and you're like, oh, I remember you. Like, we were dancing with each other, like, on this song. And they're like, yeah. So then for the next couple of days, like, you had a friend in whatever class you went in, especially if you were in class with nobody from your studio, you would still know other people because you had met them that first day or second day at the youth night.
It sounds like they planned it really well. I wonder, do you think youth were involved in the planning of it? I suspect they might have been, given the way they did it.
I think they were, like, in the mind of planning, and they planned around the youth. I'm not really sure who participated, though. But I do think that the youth did play a very big part because I think that was who the main priority and focus of the conference was on.
So when you got there, have either of you been to anything like this?
No, this is my first time attending IABD.
What were you expecting or what were you thinking as you were on the plane or as you were getting ready to go? Were you excited, nervous? What was going through your mind?
I think that I had heard, because the last time that they went, I was at Hadat, and I was too young to go, but a couple of my friends had went, And, like, from the stories that they came back, it was, like, high intensity and it was, like, rigorous. Like, you were on no sleep. Like, you had to get up and, like, drag yourself out of bed and go and go and go to class and go to class and, oh, get on the bus and that kind of thing. But I think when I got there, especially because, like, the first day that we were there, like, we had no classes. It was just a performance and then we got to settle in. I think that definitely settled the nerves because, like, we were all in one hotel. So you saw, like, everybody from everywhere. Like, I got in the hotel and I was in there with another person, and 2 days later I was taking class from that person. So I just think, like, the intimate environment definitely, like, helped calm, like, your nerves because you could just see that everybody was a person. Like, everybody was just a human being. Like, nobody was, like, higher ups. Like, you said hello, you said good morning, they greeted you back. It wasn't any, like, sense of, like, hierarchy there, whereas that's maybe what I thought was going to happen, like, when we got in there, that, like, sometimes, like, you... Like, the people that you would see maybe wouldn't be, like, the people that you'd be taking classes from, and I didn't think it would be, like, that close of a relationship.
How about you?
I think it was very, I was very nervous at first, but then as I, like, met these people that I was watching and the dancers from companies that I dream of still being into this current day, it made me realize that they are here to support youth and young dancers, and it really made me feel, like, special and welcomed and, like, loved, because the community of people that are there to support you and opportunities you could have at IBD, I was very glad to be there, and it was a very good experience. And it was also just, like, wow, I'm in the elevator with you, and I've been watching you, and I've been begging my mom for months to buy tickets to come see you, and, like, I'm just having a casual conversation with you. So I feel like it was very eye-opening to have this opportunity to be around the people I was around.
Nyree Hunters, who you just heard, and she is at Pittsburgh Kappa in eighth grade. She lives in the West End. Camille Howard is in 10th grade at Montour High School and lives in Coriopolis. Did I get that all correct?
Yes.
I hope I did. And they're representing themselves, but also Hill Dance Academy Theater. The other thing I'm thinking about, Hill Dance Academy Theater is a special place, but when you get into the broader area of Pittsburgh, you're in a dance community, you're not surrounded by a lot of black dancers. Here in this environment, suddenly there must have been hundreds and hundreds. That had to be really exciting. Was it?
Is
that?
Yeah. Coming from where I was, from two, I was at PBT, Pittsburgh Ballet Theater, and then at the age of 5 or 7, I don't remember, I transferred to West Point, and both of those studios were predominantly, like, white studios. So I was most times the only black girl in there. And it was just, like, eye-opening walking into Hadat. My mom told me I was 7. I don't think I was that young. But walking into Hadat and seeing, like, all these girls, and they're doing the same things that the other kids were doing at the other studio. But, like, I was like, they're, like, the same color as me. And it was just, like, very much eye-opening, especially when I went to see their first performance. I remember what year that was, but, like, it was just amazing to see, like, all these girls, especially also kids my age, like, doing all these things that I could have never dreamed to do because I was just, like, a ballet dancer.
Yeah, I think it matters to see yourself and others. What was it like for you, Nyree?
It was amazing. It was good to, I felt very comfortable to see a lot of people that look like me in the same ballet class as me, because nowadays it's the stereotype that when people say, what is a ballet dancer, they think of a tall, like, white, thin lady, and it's like, no, that's not it. There was a lot of people that looked like me, and it's also not only at Hadat, but at IBD, there was a lot of people that was very serious about dance, and they looked the same, and they all, like, had a background that was similar to mine. And it's also, like, us having the chance to perform at IBD, it was very amazing because the support that we felt was, it was just good, yeah.
Were there boys there and men as well?
Yes, so at Hadat, we have one male dancer, Darren Ward. He also is in 10th grade and goes to Montour High School. But at IABD, some studios were, like, mostly guys and less girls. Like, the Collage Dance Studio, there was a guy, Stephen Yates. He was, I think, Nairi's age or a little bit younger, but he was, like, amazing. But there was, like, a couple guys in there, and I was just, like, I didn't know, like, how many guys did ballet, especially, like, black boys that did ballet, but it was just really interesting. Like, you'd be in a class, and there was a whole bar of black guys just, like, going at it, and I was, like, I didn't know that there was that many, like, people and guys that were out there in the ballet world, like, taking it as seriously as they were.
Yeah, I think it sometimes comes in waves. I've known some dance groups where they have a lot of boys, and then the next year they seem to have more girls or fewer boys than they did. And it might depend on the company, too. But it sounds like you had a chance to experience boys doing ballet and maybe even dancing with them in a way that you don't always have the opportunity to hear because you don't, if you only have one guy at the school. What a neat experience. Did you all perform as HDAT at the conference, and what did you do?
Yes, so we did perform, and it was at the gospel brunch, I believe. It was very eye-opening to see how much people was there to watch us and everything, and it was like, yes, it was very fun and like a great performance, but it was a learning experience as well because I was very nervous, and like once I got on the stage, I didn't feel nervous no more. I just felt excited to dance, and yeah.
Yeah, I think we were the last people to perform out of the whole conference. So, there had been, like, multiple nights of people and, like, all these amazing, even, like professional companies had performed before us. Like, we were the last people, like, out of the whole conference. We were the last performance. So I think I was very nervous because I was like, am I going to, like, reach that level of expertise? Like, how will we compare? Like, will people compare us? But I think, like, once, like, we got out there and we, like, I saw, like, my friends and the people that I've danced with, like, I think all that faded to the background. And it was just like, well, we're here to dance. And that's what everybody else did. And as much as people might compare us, like, it doesn't really matter because, I mean, we were up here and there's some people that weren't up here. So there has to be a level of expertise that we have to be up here on the stage when there were so many other people that might not have had that opportunity.
That's amazing. So what it says is your experience has really grounded you in who you are and what you're capable of. And no matter how it goes, you're grounded in those two things, which is a real credit to HDAT, the methods that are used there. And of course, you've been influenced by other things, too, but it just sounds like HDAT does a great job in preparing you for something like that. I knew this was going to go fast. We just have a couple minutes. Is there anything you'd like to say about HDAT or Memphis that I haven't asked you about?
Oh, yes. So because we were the last people to go, that was like a very strategic way that we had done this. Our Miss Aisha is on the board. And after we had performed, we all were called back onto the stage, still in costume. And Miss Aisha had announced that IABD will be here in Pittsburgh in 2025 as a part of HDAT's 20th year anniversary. So we will be hosting IABD here 2025. I don't know the specific dates, but it'll be in January. And that was, like, the big, like, hurrah of our last thing at IABD before we left to get back on the plane on Sunday.
That is exciting. I feel like we have a scoop here to announce that and make sure we know about that when it comes up. What advice would you have if somebody's listening and might be thinking of getting involved with HDAT, or maybe some parents are wondering if it's time to get one of their kids involved?
Personally, I love morals, but one of my morals going into the dance world and also HDAT and just life in general is never compare yourself to your future goal. I feel like when you compare yourself to other people or other things, you look down on yourself and you don't see all the positive things about yourself. So I feel like instead of saying, oh, wow, I can't do this or I can't accomplish this, then just make it your new goal. Never compare yourself to your new goal.
Yeah, and I think for any parents or children that are listening to this, like, please do, like, come down to Hadat. Like, it really is, like, just a community. Like, nobody is really, like, being cliquey. Like, you will get to know everybody there, no matter what level you're in. And it doesn't really matter, like, your level, because everybody's learning and growing. Everybody has their struggles. So I think Hadat is, like, the perfect place to come and to learn and how to grow your dance technique. And I think that once, if they decide to come, they would really see, like, how much of a community and a village we are.
Yes. I also think, yes, you could grow as a dancer, but also just as your discipline as a person, you could learn how to cooperate with others and how to talk things out and, you know, how to communicate, how you, like, express what you're feeling with not only your words, but also with your movement. So I do recommend that you come to Hadat. Join the family.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to both of you. I hope you'll come back sometime. Nairi Hunter and Camille Howard. Thanks to Aisha and Eric for coordinating everything. You can learn more at 5678. I thought that was an address. Is it instead 5-6?
No.
I just now realized that. It's 5678 followed by hdat.org. Thanks so much for your being here. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
Closer and closer, much closer. While the music plays, dance with me. Hold me tighter, tighter and tighter, so much tighter. Let the rhythm sway. Put your lips to mine when the music plays. We're no longer strangers, baby. Now we're more than friends. Oh, pretty darling, won't you dance with me? Dance me closer. Closer and closer, and maybe we'll be lovers when the music ends. When the music ends, we'll be more than friends. While the music plays. Music ends. We'll be more than friends when the music.
Maybe you and I can be more than friends. Oh, dance with me, darling. Dance with me, baby. Sway while the rhythm plays. Oh, darling, we'll be more than friends when the music is. We'll be more than friends. We'll be more than friends when the music ends.
Tuck and Patty here at the Saturday Light Brigade. I hope you enjoyed hearing from Hill Dance Academy Theater. In just a moment, Prime Stage Theater will join us, and we are going to talk about a new play that they're presenting. I'm excited that we have the actors here with us. Some of the actors. The play opens on March 1st. And the subject matter is Anne Frank.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
So there's two things I think about a lot. One is people that do visual design and art, you know, are involved with graphics. Yet when content or material is of questionable taste or not safe for work, they say the material could be graphic, which doesn't seem right. And then the other thing that happens is when crimes are committed, they always say the actor did this. And, you know, why? And I'm surrounded by actors right now. And I'm quite certain none of them are to be feared in that way. But why do they do that? Wayne Brenda is here from Prime Stage, and then we have three actors with us. I'm going to turn to Wayne first, though.
Sure.
Just to get to know this play a little bit better. It's called And Then They Came For Me, Remembering the World of Anne Frank. It opens with a preview March 1st at the New Hazlet on the North Side and runs through March 10th.
Tell me about this play and why you picked it. And
yeah, it's this is actually the second time that we've done the production. But it turns out that we're looking for ways of really engaging young people to really learn about the Holocaust and learn about also learn about just what it means to care about others, you know. But and the thing about it, a lot of the survivors, unfortunately, are passing on. So we have now we have a lot of families of survivors, which we're going to be recognizing them at the production. But this play is really, really important because when young people think about the Holocaust, they think about Anne Frank, okay? But the Holocaust is so much more than that. And what this story is about, it's about two of her best friends. The one boy that was named Hello in the diary, Ed Silverberg, and Eva Geringer, it was actually Eva Schloss, she married. And they survived. They were best friends of Anne Frank. They survived, and their story is really what this play is about. And the interesting thing about Eva is she and her mother survived the Holocaust. Her mother later on met Otto Frank, married Otto Frank, so Eva actually became a posthumous stepsister of Anne Frank, which was really, really interesting. So there's some interesting history here, but we're getting the true story. We're getting another side of the Holocaust. We're getting it from two people that actually survived. And the interesting thing about the play is, in addition to the actors, we also have videos of Eva and Ed that are going to be in the show. So we're really getting, it's like a multimedia experience, you know, that really is telling the story and engaging audiences so they really get the truth about the Holocaust.
It's really very important work. And I remember, you know, growing up, I not only knew multiple Holocaust survivors, mm-hmm. but I really got to know them and learn from them in depth. And many of them were in their 60s, 70s. And now, if you're fortunate enough to interact with a survivor, they're considerably older.
Right.
And also, there are fewer left
yes.
due to age. So being able to carry this firsthand knowledge directly is really important because
right.
there are people that don't have an accurate understanding of so this is, in addition to being important theater, it's important to present that history.
Absolutely. And we're we're partnering with the Holocaust Center of Pittsburgh. We have a long-standing partnership with them, so they're also helping us to bring the story to life and bring the history to life. And it really is a matter of what they've learned, and the interesting thing also is when you're talking about survivors, a lot of the survivors that we know now were 12, 13, 14, you know, were kids in the Holocaust. And sometimes students don't realize that they were my age when they were in Auschwitz, when they were in Buchenwald, when they were in Dachau. And so we're seeing these teenagers really telling their story. And we have, in the cast, we have teenagers playing these roles. I mean, we're doing, what we do is age-appropriate casting. And we feel that's extremely important so that young people really see the truth and the honesty and the history.
Well, let's meet some of the cast members, two teens and one non-teen that are here with us. I'm going to ask you each to introduce yourself, maybe where you go to school, and if you have any shout-outs, this is a perfect time to do it. It will be heard live on the radio as well as in the archived segment, and we'll get started.
Hello, my name is Aiden Freed. I'm playing Ed, and I go to Point Park University. I'm a sophomore, and I'm pursuing a BFA in acting, and I'm from downtown Pittsburgh.
Where are you from originally?
Oh, yes, of course. I was born in Moon Township, and then I moved many times, a couple different middle schools, and then I ended up in Imperial, PA.
Okay, you're a Pittsburgher, though,
yeah.
Because a lot of people, I'm sure you've encountered
in your class, there's people from all over the country, if not the world, right?
Texas, California, for sure. It's China, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of Pittsburghers may not realize that Point Park, and actually, Pitt has a great drama school, and Carnegie Mellon do each specializing in different aspects.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people forget that Point Park draws students from all over, especially, are you musical theater?
Or acting.
Acting. Okay. And let's meet, why don't we meet the other teen, and then we'll meet Mom. So you met who plays Ed, and now we're going to meet Jackson.
Hi, I'm Jackson Fraser. I play Heinz Geringer, Eva Schloss's brother. I go to North Allegheny Senior High School in McCandless. I was born in Squirrel Hill, but then we moved up to McCandless later on. And for a shout-out, I guess, my good friend Chris Petraglia, he works in the musicals there, and he's fantastic.
Excellent. Well, it's nice to meet you. And now, if I have this my notes correct, we have Ava's mom. Is that right?
Yes, hi. My name is Stacey Roslick, and I am playing Eva's mom. The character is Mutti, but her name was Fritzi Geringer. And I am also playing the mother of Ed, or Hello.
Ah, that's
yes, briefly.
A bit of a dual casting there. there's so much I'm curious about, but let's talk about the play first. This is about much more than I would think. I'm not an actor, but I would think this. There's far more responsibility when being an actor in this particular work. I mean, there's certainly the craft of assuming your character and the blocking and the craft of acting. But you're also presenting a very important part of history. And maybe all plays require this amount of responsibility, but I don't know. I would think that this particular play more so, and I'm getting some nodding heads. Do you feel that way about it?
I think what makes this play so important is that, especially for students my age, it's like you look at like the Holocaust and you see that 6 million people died. And right now it's like a lot of people just see that number. They don't see a face because it's like what does 6 million people actually look like? How do you comprehend that? That is so many people and that's so much loss of life. And this play really puts a face to that number. It's not just like another tally on a board. It's people who had ambitions, hopes, dreams. And I think that people who even know the Holocaust and have studied it, I don't think they'll leave the play the same.
Did you learn anything that surprised you as you were preparing for the role, Jackson?
Yeah, definitely, especially when researching a lot about Heinz Geringer and the things he would go through. Like, he dyed his hair blonde during the Holocaust to just appear less Jewish. But it's so unfortunate. It really surprises you when you learn about, like, all the things that these people went through. Like, you know about, like, the atrocities that were committed, and you know that it was bad, and you know about the concentration camps. But when you hear, like, the descriptions, especially from people who lived it, it's a whole other level of just – it's awful. It really is.
That was Jackson Fraser, who is at North Allegheny High School, 17. You mentioned that at your age or people your age not having in-depth information about the Holocaust. Let me turn to Stacey. We were talking about responsibility of presentation for the play, and how did that impact your preparation?
Oh, I mean, it's so humbling, and it's an incredible responsibility. And for me, the research is just about, you know, there's so many materials available about the Holocaust, so many I was familiar with and I turned back to, but this has given me the opportunity and I felt the need to just drill down more and to try to understand really what it was like to be a parent of children. I mean, obviously of children, but also of teens. And the own fear, the fear that you faced as a human, and then the need to protect your children. And there's this mounting tension. You know, Hitler came into power, but there weren't death camps right away. You know, there were gradual things happening. And so, you know, I'm trying to kind of really harness what that must have felt like. You know, seeing these things happening, the prejudice, the tension, and how do you absorb that as a human and deal with it, and also try to protect your kids at the same time?
Stacey, I'm just thinking. There's that one scene that when you're having the birthday celebration for your daughter, her 16th birthday, 15th birthday, and she has a present for her, and everything is there, and all of a sudden she gets the Nazis come to the door.
Exactly. Imagine. You know, you go down to wish your child a happy birthday, give them a present, sit down, have some breakfast. Now, granted, they were in hiding, so they knew things were bad. But then suddenly they're arrested. This is a 15-year-old being arrested on her 15th birthday. That's horrific.
It sure is. And part of it, too, is, as you were bringing up, sort of the slow, gradual build-up and the slow response from the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
In retrospect, it's a lot of people think it was immediate, but when you look at the history, it was anything. But let me turn to Aidan now. We were talking about responsibility as an actor towards a portrayal and being faithful. Not only to the playwright, but to the history. Did that pose a challenge to you?
Absolutely. We're not just doing like a docudrama. This isn't just the story of the Holocaust. This isn't a story. This is real life. These are real people. And, you know, like we were saying about how it was such a slow process and how people didn't really know that they were going to have to keep running over and over. And, you know, there were people who thought nothing was going to go bad. You know, everyone's safe. We're going to be safe here. That's the whole point of the title. And then they came for me. No one expected for them to be next. And it's just, it gives me chills thinking about it, because portraying that true fear of, you know, something that's maybe worse than anything imaginable, it takes a lot of responsibility, and trying to get to that truthfulness is something I've never really strived for as an actor until I've done this production.
That was Aidan Freed, who is one of the cast members of And Then They Came For Me, Remembering the World of Anne Frank. And he's going to do a monologue in a moment or two. Also hear Jackson Fraser and Stacey Roslek, members of the cast. And Wayne Brenda is here too, the artistic director of Prime Stage Theater. Wayne, what ages is this play appropriate for?
I'd say typically when you're doing Holocaust studies, you usually start around sixth grade. So I would say from sixth grade on up to adult. You know, and I would encourage families to come, because we have some very special things happening. On opening night, there's a man by the name of Father John Neiman, who is a retired priest from West Virginia, but he was a personal friend of Otto Frank. He met him when he was young. They corresponded through letters. In fact, he's going to be coming to a rehearsal at one point, but he's going to be doing an audience discussion on opening night. And then the following Friday, we have students from Baldwin Whitehall that are going to be doing a panel discussion about what this play means to them. So, you know, we have some special things going on. And you know,
now, the night for Father John Neiman
is Saturday night.
Saturday the 2nd.
Yes.
Okay. So the play, there's a preview March 1st, you can be the very first person. And then March 2nd, Saturday night, and then Sunday, March 3rd at 2:30, and then it'll wrap around and do the same thing the following week, right? Thursday,
right.
Friday, Saturday.
Actually, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, okay. Yes. Right. What am I saying? Friday. This is why I'm going on vacation next week. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right. And Friday has been when the students from Baldwin-Whitehall are going to be joining us.
Okay. So that date for Baldwin-Whitehall is March 8th. That should be a great panel discussion with them. And then Father John Neiman is there on March 2nd.
That's correct.
I got it all right. Of course, you could go to primestage.com and get all of this information even more clearly.
Right.
Even more clearly. So we thought it would be great to have Aidan share a bit of the play. And do you need to talk about the scene or set it up?
So Ed at this point is coming from a friend's place, and it's a little late, a little too late. He's in hiding, and he has to get home. And this is what happens. It's 8:10. 10 minutes past curfew. I turn a corner within a block of my grandparents' home, and there, German soldiers. They don't even ask for identification. They don't have to. I'm wearing the yellow star. They don't say much. One of them just takes me by my arm and tells me to get on the truck. I'm on this truck for about half an hour. There's a young German guard who's holding a rifle and staring straight ahead. I know that if I'm going to escape, this is it. So I push him off balance, and I jump off the truck and into the road. For a second, I think I'm safe. And then I look up, and I see headlights coming toward me. I roll out of the way just in time to get out of the way from the wheels of the truck. And I get up, and I start running. Running and running, and I don't look back. I hide in a doorway of an apartment building where I know people, but I don't ring their bell. I just stay here for an hour or so. Finally, when it's really dark, I go home.
Wow, that was brilliant. And that's just a sample of what you can hear. When you go to see Prime Stage Theaters, and then they came for me remembering the world of Anne Frank. I should ask, Wayne, I suspect you know the playwright's name offhand.
James Still.
James Still.
James Still, yeah.
I want to give the playwright credit. Thanks to all of you for being here. Is there anything I didn't give you a chance to say that you wanted to say?
I think from my perspective, I'm a museum teacher fellow from the Holocaust Museum in D.C., and it's really been wonderful to see them bring this story to life, and also I've been able to help them, give them some research and some different things, which has been helpful too. But it's very, very important, and it's wonderful to see the work that they're doing, and I'm looking forward to having audiences respond to this as well, because it's a very, very, very important piece of work that we're doing.
Thank you, Wayne, and thanks to all of you,
thank you.
For being here today. Broadcasting live, as if there were any other way, from historic Allegheny Square, along with members of the cast of Prime Stage Theater's upcoming production. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR
Washington. Tube City online at WMCK.FM, McKeesport, loudspeaker 1, Fort Collins, Colorado, and easily streamed live and later, too, at slbradio.org. Otis Taylor at the Saturday Light Brigade with Walk Right In. Thanks for being here with us today. A few minutes ago, I mentioned that you can listen at slbradio.org. If you haven't been to our website lately, it's had a quite dramatic overhaul. I hope you'll visit. You'll find that it loads faster. It's incredibly responsive. There's ways to get in touch with us. For all of the reasons that we think you might want to do so, including interacting live on the radio, as well as bringing us to a classroom or arranging for a field trip, questions about the music that we play. You'll also find a direct link to our Youth Express survey.